This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Russian fossil fuel powers lots of Europe. What about Chinese nuclear power?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. The British government has given the go-ahead for the UK's first new nuclear power plant in 20 years. The announcement is controversial not only because nuclear power still has many critics, but because two Chinese state-owned companies will be involved in building and running the new facility. Joining us is Marketplace's Stephen Beard, live on the line. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, David.
What concerns are you hearing about handing over a piece of Britain's nuclear power industry essentially to China?
There's been some disquiet expressed by some commentators, but the British government has brushed this aside. It points out that the Chinese have got huge expertise in this field. They're building more nuclear power stations than anyone else at the moment, about 30. And the British government is trumpeting the fact that for the first time, no British taxpayers' cash will be spent building a nuclear power station here. It will be financed by the French state-owned power company EDF and the Chinese. Here's what the British finance chief George Osborne told the BBC.
There are many countries in the world who wouldn't want other countries involved in their civil nuclear program. I do because, by the way, if it wasn't Chinese investment or French investment, it would have to be British taxpayers, and I'd rather British taxpayers were spending their money on our schools and hospitals.
The British government says it's not concerned about national security. There's no fear about the Chinese government turning nasty and pulling the plug on this facility, holding the country to ransom, because it'll be on British soil and under British control.
I see there's also some anxiety, Stephen, about the price of the power that would be generated at this place.
Yes, in order to get the French and the Chinese to cough up the $25 billion to build it, they've been guaranteed a minimum price that's double the current price. Now, the British government says the plant won't be operating for at least a decade, so people won't actually be paying these prices for a decade. But rising energy prices are a hot issue in the UK at the moment, and this undoubtedly will cause some resentment among British consumers.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. I appreciate it. Also today, China's state-run media is going after Starbucks for charging too much. China Central Television did a big piece focusing on the coffee chain's profit margins in that country. The broadcast noted that a medium-sized latte costs about a third more in Beijing than in Chicago. The broadcast said Starbucks could do this because of what it termed the blind faith of local consumers in Starbucks and other Western brands. Now, Starbucks says its prices are tied to local labor, real estate, and commodity prices, plus currency fluctuations. Now let's do the numbers. S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow futures are up slightly this morning so far. The FT 100 index in London is up 0.1%. President Obama this morning is expected to say he is sorry for the technical problems the people have run into trying to sign up for insurance under the new health care exchanges. The phrase of the week may turn out to be tech surge, as platoons of software and systems experts are deployed to re-engineer online systems that were not up to the task that began October 1st.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
In many places, the luxury home market has come back strong after the Great Recession. The wealthiest Americans have mostly recovered from the real estate downturn. But industry watchers say tastes are changing, and in a lot of places, a different kind of mansion is coming into vogue. Marketplace's Noel King traveled to the fancy Hamptons on New York's Long Island.
Builder Jeffrey Collet has accidentally tripped the burglar alarm on his pond house. Inside, he shows off what he's known for in the Hamptons, his meticulous attention to luxury details.
This is all French limestone. I had all of the doorknobs hand-forged in Brooklyn. These are antique black walnut floors.
Collet is openly disdainful of cookie-cutter mansions. He bought this house to expand, renovate, and sell it right before the recession hit. In 2010, he put it on the market for just under $40 million. He's since cut the asking price by $11 million. The house tells a story about the luxury real estate market here. Collet is not building $40 million homes at 20,000 square feet these days. His clients are more cautious about price and size. But Collet says, don't be fooled into thinking that the market is struggling. The Wall Street types who flock to the Hamptons are doing just fine. It's that conspicuous wealth has fallen somewhat out of fashion.
Honestly, I think people want to be more respectful of what's going on in the economy. People are struggling. You know, I don't think people want to push that in someone's face, that there's this vast difference in the way people live.
But inside their houses, his clients still expect the French limestone, those hand-forged doorknobs, and other luxury details. Lori Moore-Moore is seeing the same thing nationwide. She's CEO of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. She was talking to a real estate agent in Denver recently.
And his comment was, you know, our McMansions, and he was defining those as properties in the 15 to 20,000 square foot range, are all of a sudden very, very difficult to sell. And people seem to be instead buying at a sweet spot around 5,000 to 7,000 square feet.
As for Jeffrey Collet, for now he's sticking to lower-priced mansions in the $8 to $10 million range. And he plans on diversifying into the newest busy market in the Hamptons, homes priced at $4 to $6 million. On Long Island, I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
And you can watch the newsreels of the choking London fog during the cheap coal years, including the miasma that killed an estimated 4,000 people in 1952. Today, smog has all but shut down the Chinese city of Harbin. Schools are out, airports shut. Just about everyone who's out is wearing a face mask. You may not have heard of Harbin in China's northeast, sort of near Vladivostok, but it has more people than New York City, 11 million inhabitants. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.